This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 12, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, the hidden costs of junk mail. And a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. The Champaign City Council is now taking applications to fill the at-large council seat left vacant by the resignation of Kathy Ennen. Council members set the timetable for filling Ennen's seat last night. The deadline for filing applications is August 1st, with a final council vote on the appointment set for August 15th. The interim term runs until next spring. Mayor Jerry Schweigert says he hopes the council isn't trapped in a 4-4 deadlock over divisive issues. He pointed to a News Gazette report that suggested some council members would consider an applicant's political affiliation or their stance on the smoking ban.
But I don't like some of the comments I've read about that we're going to have a litmus test on whether you're a smoker or non-smoker opponent, and that you got to be, are you a D or an R, a Democrat or Republican? So that's just not things we've normally done in the past on the council on selections. We go, are you the most qualified person to serve the citizens of Champaign? And that's the way I hope it comes down.
Two people who plan to apply for the vacant seat attended last night's Champaign Council meeting. Republican County Board member Deb Finan and Independent Bill Glitherow both say they oppose the smoking ban in bars and restaurants, but they say they consider the issue settled, at least until next spring's elections. All parties involved agree that former Urbana alderman Laura Huth did a fine job as executive director of Habitat for Humanity for Champaign County, but Huth no longer holds the position. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Local Habitat Board President Steve Clarkson told Huth last Friday of the board's decision to replace her. Clarkson says he can't discuss the reasons, but says there was no impropriety involved, and praises Huth's accomplishments during her 2.5 years on the job. Habitat for Humanity is dedicated to building houses for low-income families. Huth says she led the Champaign County chapter to a firm financial footing and expanded its community service.
The first year that I was there, 2 houses built. The second year I was there, 4 houses built. Our plans for this year were to build as many as 8. In that time, I have worked to house 45 people in all, 30 of them being children. Our staff has grown from 3 full-time employees to 10.
Huth says she doesn't know why she was fired, but is already searching for new opportunities. Meanwhile, volunteer coordinator Eileen Gebby has been named interim executive director at the Champaign County Habitat for Humanity office. A search committee has been named to find a permanent director. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Staff at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts say a record grant awarded the facility this week is a testament to its mission. Krannert was one of only 7 campus-based performance venues asked to submit grant proposals to the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation. The facility received $1.125 million to be awarded over a 3-year period. Tammy Kikta is Krannert's Assistant Director for Artistic Services. She says the grant will strengthen the center's ability to create boundary-pushing new work by serving more of the student and community population.
Exploration of all kinds of creativity, not necessarily just focused on the artistic domain, but recognizing that the scientific and the academic also supports that idea of creativity at large and making those work for us in a performance venue as well.
For example, Krannert hosts the Liz Lerman Dance Exchange in September. A multimedia presentation featured in the performance is based on genomic research, some of it done on the U of I campus. Krannert is required to match the funds awarded by the Doris Duke Foundation. The majority of the funds will go to an endowment worth $750,000. A 19-year-old Peoria man has pleaded guilty to stealing about $60,000 in computer equipment from Caterpillar Incorporated and selling it online. Zachary Smith pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court to transporting stolen goods over state lines. He told the judge that he and another man took laptops, computer software, memory devices, video cards, and other accessories from a warehouse and then sold it on eBay. Smith claimed that he smuggled the goods out of the warehouse under his shirt. He says the thefts took place between last March and March of this year, while the men were employees of Advanced Technology Services, a spin-off of Caterpillar. It was not clear late Tuesday whether anyone else has been charged. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says the state should be more open to internal corruption probes. That follows complaints about lack of access to government investigations. Ben Calhoun reports.
Years ago, Blagojevich said the state inspectors general needed more oversight to make sure they were rooting out corruption. So he created a 9-person ethics commission in 2003 to do just that. Problem is, the commission hasn't acted on a single case, and its chair, Jim Brennan, complains the panel doesn't have enough information about what the inspectors general are doing. Blagojevich says it's time for more access, for the ethics panel and for the public.
They should have every right to learn what was properly available and what the law allows. And I said we should take a look and see whether or not we should have the law changed.
Meantime, Blagojevich defends his administration's record on corruption. A recent letter from U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald says the governor's office is the focus of a federal investigation. I'm Ben Calhoun.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rook. If it seems like your mailbox is stuffed with more shiny credit card offers and catalogs than ever before, you're right. The U.S. Postal Service says the volume of advertising mail outpaced first-class mail for the first time last year. Rebecca Williams reports city waste managers and environmental groups are concerned that all that mail is going to add up to a lot more waste.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems like no one sends me letters anymore, which means my mailbox is all coupons and catalogs and pizza ads. That's not all bad, but honestly, most of it goes right to the shredder. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, that's a pretty common reaction. The EPA points to one study showing that 44% of advertising mail is thrown away without being opened or read. And there's a lot coming in. Last year, marketers and nonprofit groups sent about 101 billion pieces of mail. That's billion with a B. You might call this junk mail, but people in the business have a more affectionate name for it, direct mail. Pat Kachura is with the Direct Marketing Association. She says direct mail yields a very high return on investment.
Marketers yield about a $7 return on investment for every dollar spent on catalog marketing and about $15, almost $16 return for every dollar spent on non-catalog direct mail marketing.
The association's annual report says those hefty returns are based on an average of just 2.7% of people responding to the ads they get in the mail. Last year, that meant more than $600 billion in sales. So it's profitable for marketers to fill up your mailbox. But critics say there are hidden costs that marketers aren't paying. Some of those costs also arrive in your mailbox, in the form of a bill from your city for solid waste disposal or recycling. If your city accepts mixed paper for recycling, your junk mail comes to a facility like this one, where it's sorted and packaged into giant bales weighing 1 ton each. Brian Weinert is the solid waste coordinator for the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
We end up getting about $70 a ton back in the value of the junk mail that's recycled. But remember, it's costing the city roughly $125 a ton or so to pick it up.
Weinert says his city is lucky because it has double the nation's average recycling rate. He says communities that don't have a recycling program bear even higher costs to dispose of mixed paper. In this case, the bales of paper get made into Kellogg's cereal boxes. Tom Watson is with the National Waste Prevention Coalition. He says it's good when there's a local market for recycled junk mail, but much of it actually gets sent overseas.
The unwanted mail, the mixed paper, generally has a very low value. That is often shipped to China, and it comes back to us in the kind of modeled packaging found on the products that we buy from China. So it comes full circle, but it's not very efficient. All the costs of the transportation and recycling.
Watson says it'd be much more efficient to cut back on all that mail in the first place. The Direct Marketing Association does offer an opt-out service. The group says their members aren't allowed to send any new mailings to people who sign up. The fastest way to sign up is online, but you have to pay a $5 charge. Tom Watson with the National Waste Prevention Coalition says that charge might put people off. He says he'd like to see a national do not mail list, one that isn't controlled by the industry.
It's very common in other countries. You can't send mail to someone unless they say in advance, yes, I want to receive that mail from you.
You might expect that the folks at the Direct Marketing Association aren't fans of the Do Not Mail list idea, but they're not the only ones.
What is our position on that? I wouldn't like that to occur.
George Hurst is the brand manager of Direct Mail for the Postal Service. It's his job to get direct mailers to send more mail. That's because it's the second largest source of revenue for the Postal Service, in the tens of billions of dollars. Hurst says new laws aren't needed. Instead, he says marketers just need to know their audiences.
The ones that don't do it too well and they just blanket the earth with a message, God bless them, we love the postage. But you know, you got to know that if you're talking to someone who, say, is 100 miles away about coming to your dry cleaners, you're probably missing the mark.
But critics say consumers deserve to have more say over the mail they bring into their homes. They say marketers make so much money from the mail they send that for that small chance you might be interested in a coupon book or sale notice, you shouldn't have to pay the cost to throw it away or recycle it. I'm Rebecca Williams.
And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, showers and thunderstorms likely, locally heavy rainfall possible. Highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds around 10 miles per hour in the morning, becoming light, chance of showers and thunderstorms 70%. Tonight, partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the upper 60s, light winds, chance of showers and thunderstorms 40%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, patchy fog in the morning, highs in the upper 80s, northeast winds around 10 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 12, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.